everyone. Welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We are continuing in the multi-parter towards the end of the run of GoBots, though it should have been should have come after the original miniseries. We are getting into the quest for the creator. I do want to say one real quick, since most people, click out of videos or whatever early on. If you enjoy this, if by any means at all, give us a thumbs up on the YouTube, give us some stars in the Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to it. Give it a little review. I'd like to read some reviews from people who listen. I know there are a bunch of people out there who are listening, so thank you 100% for that. And I enjoy it, and it's kind of cool to see like the GoBots fans and the Transformers fans like overlapping a bit. It's really cool to see that. So and I'll get complete a complete credit to Boo here. He's like, we should do GoBots. I'm like, all right, well, I guess we'll do that a little bit. It's been great. So thanks to you all for being here. And honestly, thanks a lot for joining us with this little journey, because I'm the guy who doesn't know anything this time. Boo's not. So
I just know very little.
I know nothing. I am like Jon Snow. So we are on the quest for the creator. Man, I love the way this starts out. There is a recap of Psykill just being a beast.
Oh yeah.
You love to see it.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch Psykill or any of the Renegades really just go ham on everybody.
Yeah. My dude's back here watching over.
Oh.
Proving everything.
Is that the toe cutter?
Yeah, it's the toe cutter.
Yeah.
Really impressive, but it's also nice to have a Psykill big enough for his ego.
Right.
So does that too.
I still don't think that's big enough.
Man, I don't have enough room. I like being married, so his ego's gonna stop there.
You'd have to have like a full size, like 1-to-1 Gobatron.
Yeah, that's true too. Man, we get past all the little recap and everything, but they are on their way.
Well, there's a funny thing in the recap though. It looks like
please.
They messed up the scene where it's showing the auto dock work on Turbo. It like drops him behind the table instead of like on top of the table. So
okay, I'm glad it wasn't just my imagination seeing that. Okay,
yeah, it almost looks like it dropped him and like is assaulting him behind the table.
Rescue.
Yeah,
are we really rescuing? It's kind of cool because you don't see a lot of that with GoBots. You don't see a lot of animation errors or anything like that. So
yeah, there's very few of them. But sometimes when they're there, they're doozies like that one. Most of the stuff is just little minor things, though, like coloration or something like that.
Missing guns and wings on Pathfinder and that sort of
Yeah,
thing.
we've got a couple in this episode, so we'll.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we will reference those during the episode. I'm going to count on you to do that because I did not make note of this, so
Yeah,
it's on you.
it's all me.
So they're almost to the Antares system.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's like this was supposed to be episode 43 is how it was aired. It was supposed to be like episode 7 in continuity, and it features like introductions to several new characters that in the broadcast order. They give you the introduction like dozens of episodes after you've seen these characters running around. So you'll see those.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that when we get to that because
Yes.
some of my favorite of the GoBots were
Oh,
actually.
yeah, there's some good ones.
Yeah.
Now, I got a little bit here on the Antares star system.
Please.
It's a real star system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a binary pair. Okay, you have Antares A and Antares B. Antares A is the brightest star in the constellation Scorpius.
How appropriate.
Right? And so it's 550 light years away. It's the fifth brightest star in the night sky, and it's a red supergiant. And
Nice.
in Sumeria, they called it the heart of the scorpion.
God, this is really nice of the character introduction with this. So,
right? I thought that was very fitting. And Antares B is a blue-white main sequence star that has gained some mass from the material ejected from Antares A.
It's a
It's a
vampiric.
vampire, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, yeah, this is like way too appropriate for what happens.
So we,
oh, the other thing is Antares B, because its proximity to Antares A, which is red, it's a blue star, but it makes it look greenish.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like a
Really
certain
cool.
character that's introduced.
Yeah, so the wife and I watch a lot of How the Universe Was Made. Is that the show? Yeah. Anyways, so like so they have a great time going over like the very melodramatic bad things in the universe. And then one of the things is or you have binary systems with vampiric a lot of times they're white dwarves, or they are, oh God, they are sometimes they are pulsars.
Oh, you're talking about the Black Widow pulsars?
Yes, and they'll grab energy from a binary linked star. Basically, they'll drain it until they become like a tiny star again for a short time. So it's almost like a vampire. They get enough so they're able to continue doing things. So yeah, this is really cool actually looking at it that way. I'm
And it says that Antares A will eventually go supernova, probably in like it could be like a few million years or 100 million years. But Antares B is so small it won't go supernova, but it'll swell into a red giant similar to what our star will do, and then collapse. But it won't go supernova.
That's kind of cool, actually. The fact that it's is Antares A a red giant by the fact that it expanded, or is it just
Oh,
a red giant star?
it's a massive star.
Okay, so the kind of cool thing about this is red giants are actually the most stable stars. They'll last the longest when they don't have a binary taking off mass and energy from it. So that's kind of neat knowing that that it is actually very stable until you have the other one draining from it. So that's kind of neat to know that.
And these were it was they were considered, or at least Antares A, because you couldn't really see Antares B with the naked eye. In ancient Persia, they were regarded as one of the four royal stars in the sky, which there's kind of royalty there too. So, which we run into that, which that's the whole point of this trip. So, there's a lot going on here, and I don't know how much the writers actually researched this, but this is really cool facts that are at least coincidental.
Yeah, I mean, it's if it's coincidental, that's a heck of a coincidence because all these things are lining up. I kind of get the feeling that the writers did at least some cursory investigation or research into how they could make this kind of work together.
Or they already knew this and like worked it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. People have weird interests, you know. I like
Well,
knowing
sci-fi
what.
writers especially like to look up stars and
Oh
get
yeah.
to know them, so.
I mean, like when I was younger, like I liked reading stories about weird stuff on like Venus and Mars and stuff. And like it was obviously science fiction, but looking at it now, how kind of cool it would be. Obviously, those are non-hospitable environments, but I could see the I seen these writers going and looking like, okay, well, what would it be hospitable star for colonization or something that happened there. So I can see this happening with all this. And people of astronomers have also kind of like looked because we're always looking for external planets, exoplanets, and they'll look for the kind of stars that work the best. And red giants are great, except they're a little kind of crazy. They'll maybe randomly blow off massive solar flares. But they're actually very stable for the most part. Our star is actually the most, I don't know, it's kind of like the most milquetoast star, but that's good for us. So it's kind of neat knowing all this stuff because what happens on in the planet here is rough.
It's kind of a weird planet. I mean, the first thing you see when they get there is you got like spooky monster clouds.
Cloud monster.
Yeah, cloud monster. And you get all kinds of weird stuff, like the cloud monster tries to like bite the command center.
Command center, yeah.
And then as they go through, they're holding on to Turbo so
They
he
don't
doesn't
want
fall off the table, even though he's in the stasis field thing. He's got the little glass case over him, so he's not gonna fall off. I thought that was kind of
Well,
funny.
yeah. Dude, okay, so we just did a episode with the storybooks from GoBots and Transformers. This planet reminds me of what they called Calcaron.
I could
Noxious
definitely see that.
fumes. You have a you know you have a like a really like stale. If there were weeds that looked like giant Uruska-dōji ogrefin tentacles, it would have been spot on. But yeah.
Well, and speaking of tentacles, there's a cloud tentacle grabs the command center and gives it a spin.
Yeah. So they
So.
start they spin out, they do like a barrel roll into the towards the bottom of the atmosphere on
And
one
what's
of the
kind of funny
turns.
is later you see like Scooter's looking out the window at the clouds and he kind of sees like a scary face for a second. And I almost like to think that maybe there are no cloud monsters out there if that's just what Scooter's imagining out there. Like this is fear getting the better of him.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
They land next to this where the signals come from. The it's it looks like a dormant volcano
Yeah.
with this really weird hole in the top of it.
Yeah, it's like almost a rectangular hole that's punched
Kind
into the
of.
bottom of the caldera. So,
Yeah. So yeah, it well I'm sorry, the caldera is that a volcanic term?
yeah, that's like the crater in the
Okay.
volcano. Yeah.
See, you're the geologist. I can tell you about bees. Leader one takes Matt into the hole because
Yeah.
he wants to track the signal and tracks the signal down into the hole. So flies down in there and like converts. I'm trying to use not use the T word. Converts and like spits Matt out on the ground. Luckily, apparently there was enough oxygen to have it so
Yeah, I was
Matt
gonna say it's a
died.
breathable atmosphere. So for all that stuff going up on up high in the atmosphere, down
Yeah.
low, it's completely habitable.
Maybe it's like the Mars at the end of Total Recall where all the furnaces are started and all the ice caps are melted. So it looks really terrible up there, but down here it's cool, man.
I really wanted to see like Matt's eyes pop out a little bit though, like the end of Total Recall. Ah! Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been fantastic. They're just like walking around down there and they see this really cool well I guess we gate.
It's a medieval looking gate, like a portcullis, I guess is what you'd call it.
Totally. And my boy Vamp is in front of it.
Acting like a Halloween decoration.
His really weird, like I guess he kind of has this thing where he like looks and he drops his jaw and these two fangs pop out.
Yeah, the Vamp's got the underbite.
Yeah. So, we are all like, okay, that's kind of cool. Whatever's happening here. If you're grew up at all in the 80s, Vamp is one of the most common of the monstrous renegades. I
Yeah,
mean,
the
I
monster
was on Vamp.
GoBots. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the ones I found the most commonly.
And by the way, Vamp is a girl.
Oh.
Yeah, Vamp's a she.
Sorry, I assume the pronouns. Okay, so she
Who's the monster GoBot now? It's
Anyways,
still Vamp because, you're not a
yes,
GoBot.
yes, I'm not a go being either. So,
We try to like go as little as possible.
yeah, I go far too much, man. So they're exploring this dormant volcano, and the volcano gets struck by lightning from this electric storm going on, and suddenly the volcano's not dormant anymore.
Right, it is it wakes up the volcano,
Yeah.
the magma starts flowing. 'Cause basically they're in these big lava tubes and magma chambers, so
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. There are lava tubes. Everyone knows what lava tubes are. I know you can explain it better than I can, but where like magma would flow through and carve out these circular tunnels that would where they would escape to the surface.
right, when the magma would go back down, it'd leave like hollow caves that were
Exactly.
formed by the magma. But yeah, it's almost like this has intent. Like the lightning strikes right where they were. The
Oh,
clouds attack them
yeah.
as they come down, and then it seems like the magma underneath there is chasing them.
It does. Whether it is or not, it doesn't matter because it has that appearance. It looks really, I don't know, it looks very, like you said, intentional.
Yeah.
And cool, whatever, man. I'm here for
I mean, you wonder if is this a living planet? Is this like Ego or something, or what's you
it.
never none of this is like too far-fetched for sci-fi.
Oh no,
So,
not at all. Especially
yeah.
not with GoBots, because we're as we're seeing with GoBots, it's almost like you have your own kind of I don't know, a good way to put it. Your own kind of mythos being built every week with the
Yeah.
show.
Maybe this planet is the biggest rock lord ever.
Hey, spoilers.
Right?
So
Those are from Transformers Animated, right? The Rock Lords?
yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah,
So yeah, man, Leader One, dude, there's a lot of this starts coming down, and Matt's trying to tell him we need to, they contact Scooter Limits going on, and we need to like figure out what's going on at the gate. And Leader One essentially goes, I can't deal with that now.
Yeah.
So he pulls an Ultra Magnus on him, and they blast through the portcullis, and Vamp converts and starts pursuing them.
Yeah, Vamp jumps out of the way as they fire through the
Oh yeah.
gate. Because, yeah, they
And
didn't even realize that was like a living creature there.
that's what it is. Matt's like, did you see that? And Leader One's like, I'll deal with that when we're done escaping
Yeah.
lava.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, that big statue or Halloween decoration or whatever it was just jumped out of the way. He's like,
Yeah, the spirit Halloween costume just ran out and got out of the way and like came after us. Okay, well,
right?
it'll have to deal with that later.
That's what happens when you take more than one piece out of the bowl.
You can't have more than one piece, kid. I save those for me, man. They end up like they fly like they're going back and forth. And Leader One's trying to find a good way to escape. He flies upwards through the tube and ends up landing, and once again letting Matt out because Matt's obviously not affected by volcanic gases.
Right.
And
Maybe that's where the oxygen comes from on this planet. It comes from the volcanoes.
special volcanoes that
Right.
give you nice gases. But they find an engineer under glass.
Right. Yeah, there's this humanoid just, in a stasis bed, similar to what Turbo's in.
Yep.
But this one looks a lot more ancient.
Yes.
Well, and before that, though, they go through. They find like a big Stonehenge like megalith cave.
That's right. They're like, they sure
Yeah.
built this before. This isn't, this is new or interesting or whatever they have, how they put it.
Right.
So, like right
Oh,
there.
and I
That.
forgot when they first came into the cave, it
Yeah.
was a big spooky room with like big stone skulls and like claw
That's
hands. Yeah,
right.
it's like
It looked like some kaiju things, like giant skulls and stuff, and like, oh, this is, looks like a slum. I think is what Matt said.
yeah.
Why slum?
I thought it looked kind of like a set from like Scooby-Doo.
I
Like you could
can see
definitely
that.
see this background in Scooby-Doo.
And kind of remind me of something of like, it kind of had this Japanese like our old Japanese horror movie kind of aesthetics where
Yeah.
have old Japanese demons and stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen the older those older like ghost story movies that they do.
Oh yeah.
Really cool set pieces. I can totally see this.
Yeah, there's like one of my favorites from the 80s was with the house where evil dwelt.
I know that. I haven't seen it though, I don't think.
Yeah, they used to play it on like the movie channel and Showtime like a lot back in the early 80s,
I've
and
probably
I
seen
probably should not have been watching it, but
it. Should not, or nah, you should have. It's fine.
yeah,
It made you who you are. But
that's who I
dude,
have to blame.
yeah. Vamp and Scorp start attacking Matt and Leader One as they discover the guy under glass.
Yes.
So yeah, this is the first we see of Vamp or Scorp,
Yeah,
rather.
they just show up and they're not named in this episode.
Oh no, not at all. They're just random, like spirit Halloween looking renegades.
They wouldn't tell you if you asked.
Yeah, so you have to wonder why are they even here? What are they doing? Like, are they trying to get into this guy's thing? Or maybe they're trying to keep people from like discovering the last engineer.
Right, because I mean the place is pretty foreboding. It seems like
Yeah.
everything there is built to like scare people off. So
So
yeah,
yeah.
that's interesting.
I mean, honestly, they automatically assume that it is the last engineer, which why not? Because he's here on this desolate planet where they had, been kind of directed to go towards.
Right, that's where he said he was going.
Yep.
They followed the signal and they find a human guy there. So, or humanoid go being.
Looks like a go being me, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's an older dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a eye monocle iris thing. So yeah, though the others start to they land back on the planet because the electrical storms die down. They're gonna go find Matt and Leader One. But the thing is, the
Yeah.
lava has come up to the top of the dormant volcano. So they decide to go out and look for a different way. And so there's Scooter and Pathfinder, and there is it's Blaster and
Flip top.
Flip Top, thank you.
Yeah.
They split up into two teams to look for an entrance. And yeah, the Scooter and Pathfinder find an alternate entrance. And Vamp and Scorp are there to ambush them, but
Well, they
that's
have a trap set.
they do.
Scorp's got traps like set all over the place, apparently.
He's had a lot of time.
But Scooter has been playing D&D with Nick, apparently, so he checked for traps. And he tosses a
Yep.
rock in, and then a giant like boulder like falls in the way, and he's like showing Pathfinder like, yeah, see? And then he warns Blaster and Flip Top, but they can't contact Leader One or Matt. That's because Vamp and Scorp have taken them out already.
Taking them out and put them in a like a jail cell with
Yeah,
like
and
electrical bars.
Vamp actually tried to hypnotize Matt. She used her little hypno beams from her
That's
eyes on
right.
him. And it like held him in place until like Leader One blasted her. So
Not
I bet
this.
Matt's getting tired of getting hypnotized by GoBots.
Yeah. Not to compare GoBots and Transformers, but it's a lot like Mind Wipe.
Yeah. Oh, I totally thought of Mind Wipe.
Yeah. He's like, I guess we kind of uses more sonic hypnotizing stuff. So yeah,
Yeah,
man.
because he's like a bat
Yes, he and
type
he and
thing.
if you watch the Rebirth, he talks like a bad version of Bela Lugosi. So there's that.
Oh yeah. So and they say that apparently Vamp and Scorp are slavers because they're gonna sell
Yes.
Leader One in this as a slave on the market. They say, oh, we'll get a lot for him, and then they're gonna just use Matt as feed for something.
Yeah, which I mean, they don't really know the value of life, so they're just like, hey, we can do this guided slave labor, like you said. And yeah, I mean, whatever, man. That's their we don't need it. Like, we don't need a lot of backstory to know that they're evil
Yeah,
because they look evil.
they've explained pretty well that they're the bad guys here.
Yeah. We just still don't know why they're there.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, go back to the traps and things we're catching and all that. Oh God. I tried to write Blaster on my notes and it looked like Baltar.
Oh,
Anyways, not but
Gaius
we don't
Baltar.
need guys Baltar here. Blaster and Flip Top show up and they kind of help out Scooter and Pathfinder take out Scorp and Vamp.
Yeah, and the cavern that was littered with like dead robots.
Yeah, the springs come in their eyes and stuff. It's kind of,
Yeah, it's like Night of
horrible.
the Living Dead robots in there. Like,
I was,
the corpse that's in the upstairs in the original Night of the Living Dead, it's like
yeah.
eaten. That's what there's one robot that looks a lot like that, so.
Kind of does. Actually, they show them pretty prominently in the foreground.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a pretty dire situation. You got to wonder what's going on and why they're all there like this. Yeah, obviously, Vamp and Scorper have had a lot of time to hang out here.
And they're not overconfident though. They realize they're outnumbered 4-2
Oh yeah,
two, so
they
they're like,
are.
yeah, we're gonna back off. And they go to grab Leader One and Matt as hostages, who they think are still unconscious.
Yeah, Leader One is hey, hold on, let's lay back down. Let's pretend we're unconscious. And they get a little confident and come in like kind of I think is it Scorp that stands over Leader One?
I believe so. Well, they both go in and after him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of them
And
stands over Leader One, and Leader One like gives
he
them
just springs up and starts firing.
gives
Yeah.
them both fists. Bam, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One's a
And then
hospital, the other one's a morgue. Not too
he gets up and he's like I want to say Vamp is like he's gonna go after Matt and he's like taste blaster or whatever and shoots him with one arm and knocks him out. So, Vamp and Scorper are knocked out and they leave the jail cell and like power the bars back up. By
Yeah.
the way, sorry I skipped over this as well. I didn't write this down, but obviously it happened in the episode. We know Vamp can like hypnotize, and I think it didn't really say overtly, but it almost seemed like he drained power and then he used it as a shield. But it
Oh
didn't make.
yeah. Vamp has like a energy shield too, so yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't overtly say anything about that. But Scorp actually, I guess because Scorpion sting and all that, Has the ability to fire like a stunning blast at people.
Yeah, out of his tail.
Yeah, so you get stunned. You basically like being like stung by a scorpion. You get docile or go unconscious.
Right.
So
And
that's why
subdues
the
you.
leader one and Matt were all there in the jail cell. But again, Matt and leader one are like they start the bars back up. So Vamp and Scorp are in there, and like, dude, Pathfinder and Scooter show up. Like, hey, have you seen these two guys? Oh, you mean them?
Yeah, they point to him because they're already out.
Yeah.
And this is like another animation error. If you look at Scorp's face, instead of being silver, they colored it like his scorpion mode face. It's black
Huh,
instead of
okay.
being silver. Yeah.
I
They
guess
didn't do the red V on his head though, so.
a lot of these things where you're like watching it, I guess your mind is kind of says, well, we know what it's supposed to be. So unless
Right.
you look for it, or maybe because you watch it multiple times, you see that more than people watching it through the first time.
Oh yeah, and I'm trying to keep an eye out for him too,
Now
so.
there's that. Well, I got kind of spoiled because there are not a lot of those in these episodes.
Yeah, they're few and far between.
They go back to the tomb, and Scooter links up. He has a little tube that links into the I guess glass chamber
Yeah,
tomb.
I call it a stasis bed because that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, it kind of is.
But when he does that, there's a point where Leader One's talking, and then Leader One's mouth keeps moving at for Scooter's line, like Scooter's reply, Leader One's mouth moves for that.
Nice.
So, yeah, so that's a little something going on there.
You get a really quick, brief history of the end of the Go beings before they became GoBots, and some are already converted over. And you see this guy that they found who escapes the Gobatron to go to Antares in a little
Right,
ship.
you see the memories of the Go being that's in the stasis, and you see he's like there's like tanks and people are fighting, Go beings are fighting, and then you see like an actual Go bot, and then he's being chased off by like a cyborg and a bunch of soldiers.
You see a lot of cybernetic enhancements. Very the whole thing is very cyberpunk.
Yeah, and you can see like they're in the stages between being organic beings and basically becoming transhuman. Yeah.
After that happens, I guess Scooter finishes the whole thing and he unplugs from the tomb, and the glass opens up and the Go being inside stands up, and he's got kind of rugged features. He kind of looks like a graying Snake Plissken with a instead of an eye patch, he's got like a monocle that opens like an iris.
Yeah, he's got like a robotic eye.
And he's like,
And he's built almost like a, I don't know, I'd say like an explorer, like he's got hiking gear on almost.
he kind of does actually.
Yeah.
And I we you and I talked about this. I kept bringing it up. Like, man, he looks like he belongs in the movie Heavy Metal, especially
Oh,
the
totally.
last one. Yeah, the way he's drawn, the way he is his it's almost like there's like I feel like Heavy Metal had some things where it looks really smooth a lot of things because it doesn't animate every single frame, or maybe it animates more than you're used to, so it looks very flowy. And this guy is done like that. So in a way he looks so smooth when his movements and stuff, like
Yeah.
hair moves around and stuff. It's
Yeah,
kind of
his hair
crazy.
and everything moves. He's not like completely static.
Not at all. It's a really nice animation. And I, honestly, it would have been right at home in the theatrical Heavy Metal, the
Oh
original.
yeah, this would have fit right in with the style and everything of that movie.
Yeah,
And
so
especially all the cyberpunk elements in it.
oh, 100%. So yeah, this is already being like becoming a really cool, interesting story off of what their history is. But all the GoBots all kneel before him, and they're like, "Hey, we've come for you, the last engineer." And
Yeah, they declare he's the last engineer and Neil and
Matt doesn't kneel, and like Scooter's like, "No, get down, get down."
yeah, infidel.
So they were like, "Hey, we've come searching for you because one of ours has gotten very injured, and you're the only one can help him."
Yeah, he congratulates them for finding him and for defeating the hideous pair who guard the volcano. which is
Yeah,
referring to Vamp and Scorp.
yeah,
Yeah.
about that.
Now, here's an interesting thing about this character
Yeah.
is you've encountered his voice actor before.
Okay.
He's voiced by Peter Renaday.
Peter Renaday, what do I know that voice from?
He is better known to you as Grapple.
Ha.
Yeah, from Transformers.
Yep. That's actually did that's all he did in Transformers?
Pretty much, yeah. I think that was like the main one he did.
Yeah, a lot of times in Transformers, we'll have guys doing like new characters, recurring characters, or several, like Peter Cullen doing Ironhide and doing other little voices in there. But that's interesting.
Well, it seems like in the second season of Transformers, they got a lot of people that just did like one character.
They did actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe there's a lot of that here. But
Yeah, so
anyway,
he was on both sides of the fight,
playing
the
both
struggle.
sides.
Yep. See, that's who
But
the real winners of the Transforming Robot Wars was, the voice actors.
the voice actors we met along the way.
Yes. And the toy stores, I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely that. So yeah, it's got a great voice. The animation is fantastic, and I they bring Turbo in. This guy's he's looking really rough. You need your help. He's not gonna make it if you don't help. He looks at Turbo's like, they'll be fine.
Oh yeah, because Rescue is like at his wit's end. He's like he's about to die. I can't help him, and this guy just looks at him and he's like, "Oh yeah, this will be easy."
Yeah. He opens this he pulls this lever, and the bed with Turbo on it goes up, and this chute opens up, and he falls down the hole. Everyone's like, "Whoa, what,
He fed
dude?"
him to the Rancor.
It kind of looked like it, actually.
Yeah.
And he goes down there, and Turbo falls on this like coil of yellow energy, and
Yeah, it's like
absorbs it
a
all.
energy cushion or something.
Yeah, absorbs it all, and all he said he like his thrusters work again. He flies back up. And he's like,
Well, he gets blasted with some beams that like
"Yeah."
charge him out, and then he just flies out like nothing happened.
He comes out, he's like, "Oh, I feel better than ever, So Turbo saved.
So if this guy is the last engineer, it looks like he's got the chops to back up
He
the name,
does, man.
because
You immediately like he's definitely the last engineer. We don't know what the last engineer looks like, but he looks like this could be him.
yeah, and well, he's got just intimate knowledge of how GoBots work, more so than the GoBots themselves. So,
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of the forgotten knowledge that
yeah.
we don't use it, so we just don't bother with it anymore. Like all, I know where this is going, and the idea that the GoBots, they seem completely robotic, but we know they're not.
Yeah.
And but they've kind of forgotten how to nurture the non-robotic parts of them.
Yeah.
And actually, I kind of like how Transformers actually in a lot of ways, Transformers Prime did this a lot. Basically treating like the robots like they have organic parts, like you can't just reproduce. There's like
Right.
there's not a it's not a scrap yard you can go pull a transforming cog out of. So in a way, the Transformers retroactively became a little more organic. So this is not a new concept. It just this was something that GoBots did first. Yeah, so they all the last engineer, he pulls Turbo out, and they all agree to return the last engineer to Gobatron. They're like, "We got to go back." And he's like, "Dude, yeah, I
And
can't
his first
wait."
thing, though, he wants, though, is he's hungry. He hasn't
That's
eaten
right.
in a while.
That's right. He's like, as your human friends would tell you, I'm hungry. And yeah, he just devours food, and they're like, "Hey, you weren't kidding." Like, "No, dude, I've
Yeah.
been under glass for like how many years?"
And we get a look at, the command center's cafeteria, which is
We
actually
do.
one of the rooms in the command center toy.
Nice.
Yeah,
You
so
gotta
they've
get one of
worked
those one
this
day.
in. Oh yeah, totally. It's a cool little play set. But yeah, it's got so many things there. But yeah, there's a refueling station at the bottom that has like little hoses and stuff, but it has a cafeteria at the top with two GoBots serving food, and it has like little funny names for the
I did
GoBot
see
food.
that. You showed me pictures of that. I remember seeing that now.
Yeah, so they're like working the play pattern into the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Always appreciated.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, they're gonna go take him back to Gobatron, and
Yeah, he's really eager to see Gobatron again.
but he's also really eager to see how the ship works, how the command center works.
Right.
Like, oh well,
And
yeah, we've come a long way since you went under glass.
oh
You
yeah,
showed
they're
all
showing
this.
off all the technology that's advanced.
Yeah. But he's
And
still
when
like
he's they show off the energy shields for the ship, he asks, well, like, who do you have to defend themselves against? Like, who would attack you? And then on cue, here comes
Thruster's there.
Thruster. Yep. With
Yep.
Psykill, Copter, and Crasher.
And they start laying into the command center. And yeah,
Well,
they're
he asks who it is, and they say it's Psykill, and he seems to recognize the name. Like, there's a little bit of recognition in the name. So it makes you wonder how far back does Psykill go?
I imagine he goes back pretty far considering I honestly respect and power he has. But here is where the last engineer turns heel.
Yeah.
He pulls out a gun, and who is he shoot? Is it Nick he shoots?
No. Oh, he shoots Smallfoot.
Smallfoot, but he also owns Matt.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
that
so
comes a little later.
yeah, but so
But
yeah,
yeah.
he shoots Smallfoot and completely put Smallfoot on the ground.
Well, the trick is that Psykill is radioing and basically demanding they give him the last engineer.
Yeah.
And the Guardians say, no, we're not going to give it to him. And then he pulls out a gun and says, well, what if he
That's
wants to
right.
go?
Yeah, that's
You
right.
know? And Smallfoot steps towards him and he stuns her, like puts her right on the ground and then puts the barrel up to her head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that
And
when he does the big reveal?
it's yeah, right around this point, because then Matt rushes at him. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you know that when he rushes past him, Blaster is the wrong color. Blaster is his original color. He's orange again instead
Oh,
of green and orange.
I see.
So, yeah, it's another little error they have. But he rushes him, and the quote unquote last engineer blasts him with his robot eye. Yeah, hits him with a yellow beam and just knocks him straight out. And Psykill is like watching with glee
Oh, yeah.
on the screen. And here's another animation error. When he raises his fist, it goes behind his head when it should be in the foreground. So there's like a
Gotcha.
mislayered cell there. But anyway,
Yeah.
and the quote unquote last engineer reveals that he's actually the Master Renegade.
So you have rescued, and you find out why Vamp and Scorp are probably there to kind of keep people from, like, killing the Master Renegade or something like that.
Right. And then
Which.
Psykill smiles on screen, and the Master Renegade says he's been waiting for the Renegades to conquer Gobatron and revive him. And now he plans to conquer the planet himself.
Those who know, this is like when I saw this all happen, like the Master Renegade revealed they thought was the last engineer. I had that from Ace Ventura, the Einhorn's Finkel's Einhorn. I was like, oh no. Yeah, that whole I had that inner dialogue like, man,
It was a good twist.
it was a great twist. And
Yeah.
the guy's animation is so good. If you noticed, well, I know you probably did, during the episode, every so often that little iris opens and like he'll have a red behind it and
Yeah.
closes again really fast as he looks around people. He's trying to figure people out and kind of
Yeah, you
figure
can tell when he's
angle.
like looking hard at something, and then it moves as he has like emotional responses, the eye moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But dude, of course he's a bad guy. He has like a iris, like a like you know, eye iris thing
Yeah,
that
but you
opens
know
up.
he played, you know, the good guy really well. He seemed very noble and friendly. You know, he sat there eating and kind of laughing with AJ and all the Guardians and everything. There's like no inkling that he was a bad guy.
Well, that's the worst kind of people who
Right.
you think they're their
He
friend.
he's sneaky and he's smart.
Yeah.
So
Man, it was great. This is a
yeah.
really great miniseries in this.
This guy is no Braxis.
Oh God, no.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't know the whole story with him yet, but this guy would definitely give Psykill a run for his money as far as how devious he is and how much he plans. He is very much like a Beast Wars Megatron, if
Yeah.
you will. He makes plans and plans. He's all the time. He's watching what's going on. He's thinking about what's going to be next three steps ahead. I don't think he expected the Renegades to attack, but he's like, well, while I'm here getting attacked, let me tell you what's going on, guys.
Yeah. Them's my boys.
Guys, pick me up. Yeah, that's it was it's a really good episode. Really done well. And like, it was good storytelling, honestly, to keep us all in suspense. It was like Vamp and Scorpio a distraction to keep us on our toes about what's going on with the I guess the Master Renegade.
Yeah, they were the red herring bad guys.
Oh, 100%.
In Transformers, it reminds me of Transformers Dark of the Moon, where they really pushed like Shockwave's gonna be the big bad.
Oh yeah,
But
he
it
definitely
turns out
did.
it's Sentinel Prime is the real bad guy who
Yep.
they rescue. He's asleep on the moon. I mean, you could almost say they borrowed some of that from this because, I mean, he's in stasis on the moon. They wake him up. He helps him out a little bit, and then he flips on him, and turns out he's the big bad.
After he like dissolves Ironhide with cosmic rust, apparently,
Yeah.
which is a really
So,
brutal way to go to.
oh yeah. They made sure he wasn't coming back.
No, I really like that's one of the few characters in the Bay movies I really liked,
Yeah.
and he was gone.
Yeah, I
Just
think
like
that's
that.
it. They really solidified. See, they solidified out of nowhere that he's the bad guy. Just like, you know what it is? It's the trucks. They both attack trucks at their first move.
You
Smallfoot
know,
and Ironhide.
should have known. Should have known. Well, by that time we already knew it was something was up. But no. So yeah, this is a really cool episode. This is episode 43, right? Or as
Yeah,
it
this is episode
aired.
43 in broadcast order, but it's like
Okay.
episode 7 in
Yeah.
continuity order.
Yeah. So in a way, this is really like I don't know. It was just kind of neat to see it that way. It really should have broadcast the right way, but I like almost like G.I. Joe in the first season where like mini series lumped together. You'd have a
Yeah.
bunch of mini series. That was season one of G.I. Joe. They
Well,
should.
and it was a race to
Yeah.
get as much material out as while Transformers was doing their thing.
Yeah.
Those two were really going at it hard.
Yeah. And I get that. That's fine. It's just, it's really disappointing. This would have like really, I think, helped a lot. But you know, because you even had more Guardians show up and more
Right.
Renegades show up. You know, like you like think about it, like Transformers, they kept expanding the cast. You know, this you could have done that easily with GoBots if they had done it the right way.
Right. And
Here
well, I
we
mean, like
are.
the first miniseries is just an introduction to GoBots. Okay, these are GoBots. This miniseries is more about what are the GoBots?
Was
Like,
lore.
yeah, you get to do more world building here, and they're going deeper into the story.
Yeah. And in a way this is playing more like a hard sci-fi than it is just like a cartoon.
Well, I mean, like in Transformers, we didn't get this kind of story until like season 3.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because in season 3 you had a well you had a bit in the season 2, but in season 3 there was such high points and low points. So a lot of people stopped watching because they didn't like the low points. But there's
Yeah.
so much good storytelling in season 3. This they waited till the end of the series, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it was very appropriately timed like that. So yeah, man. Honestly, that's where this ends.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I'm really interested to see where it goes from here. I mean, I kind of know where it goes
You know
anyway,
where it
but
goes. I'm really interested to see it where it goes. I don't watch anything ahead of time, so even these weeks we had off during the holidays where we did the storybooks, I didn't watch any of them because I wanted to be like freshly surprised by the
yeah, you
storytelling.
want it new.
Yeah, this is
And but
some.
they're still good. Watching it over again, it's they're good shows. They're not bad at all.
They are good shows, and honestly, the way this one plays, it really plays like pulp science fiction. It
Yeah.
doesn't play like cartoons.
And I mean on the Guardian side, I mean Scooter again is like the MVP.
Like Jacqueline Adams, who's we've met since doing these episodes, she says Scooters has a different way of fighting.
Yeah.
100%, he does. He
Oh yeah, he's the
he's the
tech
rogue.
guy. Yeah, he's the rogue.
It's
Totally.
like,
I thought of that when he triggered that trap. I'm like,
yeah.
ah, he rolled perception.
For you D&D nerds, he is the rogue. He's not going to fight like face to face if he doesn't have to. He's going to go like sneak around and hide in shadows or illusions or holograms or whatever.
I'm saying he's like a multi-class rogue illusionist,
He kind of
which
is.
that right there, that would be dangerous in D&D even.
That's every time I play every time I play Skyrim, I'm gonna do something different this time. I always end up being an archer rogue illusionist every single time.
Yeah, see,
So,
that's something, and he's like a halfling, so a halfling rogue illusionist.
kind of
Man,
is.
that's OP right there.
The dude is the MVP of the entire series. But, he's
I think
also.
people would have liked him more if he'd had a different voice. I think that's the
I
whole
think
thing
so.
is it's just the voice, but as a character, Scooter is really good.
I think, yeah, the voice really does take away from his enjoyment. It's kind of a grating voice, even though it's Frank Welker. Frank Welker does all kinds of fantastic voices, but this is not my favorite voice that he does.
Yeah. Well, they were going, I guess, for the kid-friendly voice. This is
Yeah.
the your best friend, so they didn't want him to be the big tough guy voice, you know.
Oh, that reminds me. So is some along the same way as Bumblebee and Transformers. I actually found the book I bought back in Pensacon. I think it was Pensacon, maybe 2022. I don't know. I used to moderate it at panels, and Dan Gilvezen was there. I bought his book, had it signed to my son, which my son doesn't care, so it's my book now. It talks about being Bumblebee and having that approach and having talking about the different voice actors on the show. It's a really neat little book. I'm gonna like sit there and like dig through it one day. So he acknowledges the fact that he was the link between kids and the Transformers, and the same
Right.
way, that's what Scooter is here. Yeah, Scooter is the I'd call him the lens, but he's not really. I honestly I don't know which character would be the lens. I think it would be Nick, but
Nick or
Matt,
Matt?
yeah, Matt has a lot of this too.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, like, when they were flying down the volcano, like, Matt needs to be in royalty again because it'd be perfect.
Oh yeah, he'd do the VTOL.
Oh yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, instead of flying around in a, I want to say he's an F-15, Leader
Yeah,
One. Yeah, he
leader
looked.
one, he's at 15.
Yeah, he doesn't have the swing wings, so it would have been a lot better for him. But I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it's good stuff. I think you're right. Scooter really suffered from the voice acting,
You
which
know
is
what? I'd
not.
love to see at one of these cons,
Sorry.
because you know how they'll do like the little fun script readings.
Oh
If
yeah.
they get Frank Welker and Dan Gilvezen at the same con again, they need to do a Scooter Bumblebee team up script. Just a little short or something. That would be just
Yeah.
sheer gold.
Oh God. And I love the fact that these voice actors, the ones who are still around, they're like the writers too. The voice
Yeah.
actors are really they're game for this kind of stuff. I was watching a video with Frank Welker today, talking about how he landed the voice for Soundwave for the Michael Bay movies. And he's like, Mike apparently he did the voice for like the Dr. Claw voice, and Michael Bay was like, And he's like, run it through this modulator. And he like ran through the modulator, and the guy who listening was like, oh yeah. So it all depends on the voice, and how you modulate it, because I can't imagine that Scooter's unmodulated in some way. He's got to be modulated in a certain way, because the way he sounds, it almost has a reverb like all
Yeah, they
the.
all have that echo on the robot characters, which they had that in Transformers too. If you listen, there's like a layered like reverb.
Sometimes it's more present than other times, but
I think it's most noticeable on RC when Susan Blue's talking. You
yeah,
can
Sue
really
Blue, when she
hear.
has that, yeah,
Yeah.
this is probably because she has a higher level of a higher range of voice.
Yeah, that
If you
high,
hear it,
with a
well, you
higher
hear
register, I think they call it.
register. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm also not a singer, so there you go. Anyways, yeah, so this has been great. Y'all, like I said earlier in the show, if you like it, man, give us a thumbs up, leave some comments, email us at morethanmeetstheseguys@gmail.com. Give us some stars,
We live for your approval.
we do. It's I'll do this anyways, because I just like enjoy hanging out with friends every week and doing this kind of stuff. It's fun.
We were
It's
going to
hard
watch
work.
cartoons
Yeah,
anyway. I mean,
exactly. It's fun. I always have a good time, and yes, it's hard work, producing everything and researching things, watching this here, taking notes, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, it's something, I get to do with my free time and it's enjoyable. So,
It's
whether
hard work
you
to make us interesting.
yeah, Boo does the GIFs and does our thumbnails, and I'm over here doing like audio and video, and it's a true grassroots or middle of the night on my computer at the and my wife's sleeping next to me working on it kind of
It's
stuff.
a team effort. It totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we appreciate everything you guys do for us. Keep listening. We'll keep trying to do it. And let us know what you like the most. Do you want us to do more GoBots when we get done with the series? Do you want us to go back to Transformers? Do you want us to do more comic book stuff? Let us know. I mean, even doing like a little side episode of something, different that's not either of them, like robotics or something, if you want us to do that. Oh, I'm game for all of it.
Yeah, we should actually check out Mighty Orbot someday because,
Dude.
they're the ones that Tonka took out.
Mighty Orbots has such a great intro. Y'all want to watch a really good intro? Watch Mighty Orbots. So the intro on YouTube is so good.
Oh, yeah.
So it is very clean anime style of art.
Well, it was kind of a mix though, because then they also had the more like traditional American art for like when the robots were separated.
Yeah.
But when
Yeah.
they combined, that was like straight up like mecha anime.
Voltron, Mazinger, any of those things. Yeah, it was
Oh,
very
yeah.
funny. Yeah, when they're all separated, it was very almost kind of felt very is funny to say this
I
because
tell you, it kind of looked like Don Bluth. Like, did you ever
it
see
did.
Rock and Rule?
Yes,
Yeah, that's
that
what it
actually,
always reminded me of, was Rock
yeah,
and
I can
Rule.
see that. I can totally see that. So yeah, if you guys want to like us to do anything, you want to like hear this drone on like a bunch of old guys for a little while. Tell us what you want to see. I want to hear about it. Boo wants to hear about it. Hopefully, like something really cool happens. Like, Ed comes out. He's been taking his time off because he's had a lot going on during the holidays. Maybe he wanted to do something. So let us know. Be glad to do it. And until next time, you guys have a great week and hope to see you next week.
Bye.
See you later, guys.